Blog Talk Radio.
No, the bird.
Here we go.
Bonjour, bonjour, les et la bon temps roulé, I tell you, here we are in the middle of carnival season in Mardi Gras, Yes, yes, yes. And it's me. I just want to say that. Now it's Paragon Radio. I'm your host, Pogo Man. It's party season, baby. We've been celebrating since Friday night. Let's bring him on right away, ladies and gentlemen. Some people say he's mad. Some people say he's a Viking. This past week, he's been my designated driver. He is Mad Viking.
Somewhere within the 50 states, our part-time guest, Sovereign Rain, her ears has to be burning.
Oh?
Yes.
You don't say.
Because we found, because if she was here, our ever-loving queen of innuendos and double entendres would be having a field day over the fact that it is Handcuff Day. This is the day the handcuffs were invented.
Hold on. It is technically Lundi Gras, which means Greasy Monday, the day before Mardi Gras. They're celebrating Carnival, and it just happens to be Handcuff Day, too?
Yes.
Oh, my, oh, my. Hold on. Street Feud Dixie Club. If you'd serenade us, please.
Ah, oh, yes, here we go. There we go.
Then to warm up. Wag your fingers in the air, baby. Here we are. If you can see me, I'm in my Mardi Gras regalia.
But when I saw that, I'm going like, Sovereign Rain's ears are going to be burning all night. Our queen of innuendo is missing out.
Oh, he's singing.
Yeah.
That's right. When the saints go marching. I just pictured Three Stooges doing that finger wag they do up in the air.
Yep.
We can talk over them. It's all right. They're in the corner.
Yep.
We spare no expense. We got us a Mardi Gras band for the night. I think I am very colorful for the evening anyway.
Like I said, I'm the designated driver.
Right. Or designated walker. No, Pope, you're going too far to the right.
People go, what are the differences between Mardi Gras and Carnival? One, Mardi Gras is in Louisiana, where Carnival is in Brazil. Mardi Gras is obviously Fat Tuesday. Carnival lasts one solid week. Mm-hmm. Carnival is Mardi Gras for experts.
Right.
We are talking at Mardi Gras, you'll be going, I did what? With who? Mm-hmm. Where? Mm-hmm. If you remember Carnival, then you did not enjoy Carnival.
Right.
You will be wondering how, when, and why the photos are on your phone.
Also, I found out the Mardi Gras or parade season officially starts with Twelfth Night. Or the day after Twelfth Night. Anyway, when Twelfth Night hits, that's when they start. You particularly want to take note of 2025. Mardi Gras, or Fat Tuesday, is March 4th. Ooh, we're going to have a good old time on that one. Starting so, ending so late.
Well, let's see. We got a Wolfgang on City of Heroes and on Champions in WCOC. We got an Alan Clarence, Mr. Nama, Mordica, Silver Egret. And who else know is listening?
Hold on. That microphone just... Oh, they're almost done.
Yeah.
Wait, no. I'm just going to go now. They got another minute to go, it looks like.
All right.
I don't know what they're going to do the last minute after they just did that, so.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to throw some beads out to everybody. Catch! Some for Sylvia Grant. Some for Morty. Some for Alan and Teddyson. Some for Wolfgang.
Yeah, but like I said, Rain's ears are going to be burning. And if she ever comes back on, she'll be going like, and what did you talk about me about? And, of course, I'll be going, I was a sweet, innocent angel. Everyone else going,
Jesus, pure as the drifting snow. Yeah, that snow drifted, all right.
We're talking, if this was a earlier time, he would go toe-to-toe with Benny Hill on double entendres.
Yes. And maybe triple entendres, mm-hmm. if that's possible. Oh, they finished. Lovely job, boys. Lovely job. Go have some beer or drinks. This was a most interesting weekend for wrestling as well. I want to get into that if you don't mind.
All right.
As you know, they were in Canada. Actually, they're still in Canada with Monday Night Raw. Saturday night was the Elimination Chamber. Sunday, New Japan Pro Wrestling was in California.
Hmm.
Why I say that, it was the debut of Mercedes Moné. Does that name sound familiar at all?
Yes, it does.
It's because that is the new moniker of one Sasha Banks. She's a second holder of the new IWGP, which stands for International Wrestling Grand Prix, the governing body of New Japan Pro Wrestling. Hold on. So that means technically it's the IWGP NJPW. That's an acronym. Trust me, it's been easier to say that than the full name. Women's Championship. She beat Kairi, although formerly known as Kairi Sane, the princess, the Pirate Princess. She still has the Pirate Princess motif, and I just watched it earlier. It was a very good match. Also in attendance, since it's so close to San Jose, if you know who's from where, Bailey was in attendance, off on the sidelines. They're best friends, so she was there cheering her on. And at one point, off the ropes, Mercedes Moné, performed what looked like a belly-to-Bailey suplex. As soon as she performed it, everybody stood up, knew Bailey was in the audience, started chanting. A Bailey chant went out. And people who were near her started pointing. She's trying to go, no, no, no. It's, you know, she was acting all bashful, like her,
I'm not here.
Face. Yeah. I'm just watching. I'm just here for her. And as soon as Mercedes Moné won, she pointed over to where Bailey was, because I know on Instagram there were pictures of the two of them celebrating in the back, and then back at the hotel room they were hugging and smiling.
And so. Somewhere Vince McMahon is not
happy.
He
can't say shit. He can't say shit. Because Triple H and William Regal, or Stephen Regal, whatever he's calling himself now, he's back in WWE, sent good luck wishes to her during the week.
It still means that Vince McMahon is very, very angry.
He can be angry all he wants. He's in enough trouble as it is. Because he's got more indictments against him by the stockholders.
I read somewhere he's trying to sell the price tag for WWE is $60 billion.
Oh, all right. Let's scrounge up our funds. Let's go. And I think we could buy like one share of stock. Yes, NJPW.
If you hit the lotto, you still wouldn't make it.
I still wouldn't have enough. No. Ooh, I could buy 10 shares of stock in WWE. As the fans go, the fans do not want a network
stock of WWE. That means you get to hold the Brooklyn Brawlers tote bag.
Yeah. No, I just want to be a sock holder. That's it. Right, because she let because WWE owns her, all her. Right, they own the Sasha Banks name, so.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, if Vince McMahon wasn't in power at the time, I think she would still be there. So.
No, she left at the tail end of Vince's reign.
Yeah, but it was still Vince's reign.
So yeah.
And you got to remember, it was Vince who wanted Becky Lynch. Remember, it was Vince McMahon who wanted Becky Lynch, a.k.a. the man, the most popular female wrestler he had, to turn heel. So, when...
One thing she
can't
do, she can't play a good heel. I'm sorry.
She really...
I don't know what that was.
She's... Becky? No, because... Well, that's... Well... What does Triple H do? One of the first things he does, Becky, take a month off. We're making you a face again. Because your merchandise sells. Well, trust me, you're going to turn face. She goes, oh, thank God my merchandise will sell through the roof again. She turns face, her merchandise selling through the roof again.
Like, the costumes alone she was wearing, I'm going like,
what? Yeah, it was like, are you trying to go ahead? Let me know. Tell me your impression of the costume she was wearing as a heel.
I was thinking, you know, it was like some of the off New York City fashion shows.
Okay.
You know which ones I'm talking about.
Yes. Well, one of them, when she lost the title, that was a tribute to Blade Runner, the original Blade Runner movie.
Still.
And I'm sitting there going, Blade Runner? And that's exactly what that was. But some of the costumes are like Elton John. Some of them really, they did. They really looked like Elton John. But I want to bring up New Japan Pro Wrestling really quickly for a moment, if you don't mind.
Right. No problem.
Because you're doing your March Madness thing. It's coming along nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And we have March Madness and basketball.
Oh, yes.
How many songs ago?
8 songs.
As you know,
I'm
a big...
March Madness Mayhem on Dawn Radio is where you get... You pick 64 songs that I have on my playlist.
Right.
And you try to vote your song off via NCAA tourney bracket style. We have a few favorites. We have a few spanking songs. Donald Trump made the list again.
Okay.
And you know Donald Trump, if he was listening to this, he'd be going, that's because it's huge, it's tremendous, you love Green Acres.
Yeah. Okay. now, are you doing the Greatest Generation podcast tonight, or are you doing a live show tonight?
I just got the Greatest Generation. I was on the fence for a little while.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm going to do it.
What? Wait, what are you doing?
The Greatest Generation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can't do anything about March Madness until we get the remaining 8 songs.
Oh,
then
I was thinking you'd do a live show to try and get those 8. I was thinking you were going to do a live show to try and get some of the last 8 songs.
No, we're going to save that for Wednesday.
Okay. So now, back to what I was saying. As you know, NJPW fan, what is my favorite wrestling event of the year? If you pay attention to all the shows we've done.
War Games. No.
No.
One Night Stand. No.
No, it's not WWE.
In Your House.
Not WWE. Oh, okay. The G1, the NJPW.
Yeah, I know.
G1.
I know.
Okay. Second, because it's bigger than because what it is, it's a month long round robin tournament of 20 wrestlers divided up. Actually, last year was bigger because they did 4 blocks of like 30 wrestlers. I was like, I watched every bit of it. Coming up in March is
the second biggest event they do. The New Japan Cup. The 32 wrestlers, elimination tournament throughout the month. And they're not all from New Japan. The last time they had guys from AEW, I think Ring of Honor, I think maybe Impact, because they, you know, because now the Forbidden Door is open. The Forbidden Door meaning we can't acknowledge those other companies. Oh yeah, well those four companies work together now, and it's like, you know what? Fuck WWE. They don't want to work with us. However, last year's Women's Royal Rumble, Mickie James, who was the Impact Women's Champion, was allowed to compete. Not only did they acknowledge that on her logo when she walked in, said Mickie James, Impact Women's Champion. My jaw dropped when they did that. I'm like, they opened the forbidden door in WWE. Are you shitting me? And that's all you saw on Instagram that night. It was like, holy shit, they opened. Triple H opened the forbidden door. And all you're picturing is on their equivalent of Mordor, you know, instead of the eye, Vince McMahon sitting on his throne. What the hell is going on here? Are you kidding me? Get me back. I got to get back. We don't acknowledge anybody else.
Let's see. What should we start off? Well, we already know. We checked. There are still no updates. There's no drinking game. Ooh. And we're fearing that City of Titans may pull a reboot.
Well, hold on. Just because there's no drinking game, if you guys want to drink, I'm not going to stop you because it's Carnival and Mardi Gras season. It's Lundi Gras. The day before Mardi Gras. Did I say Lundi Gras? It's Lundi Gras, the day before Mardi Gras. So go ahead, enjoy yourselves.
Yep.
I'm dressed for the occasion.
Well, so which one of the two that we talked about before we talk about? We can talk about John Cleese, or we could talk about Games Gone Quick.
We could do Games Gone Quick.
Okay. Once again, we're going into the ever-expanding story of Hogwarts Legacy.
What was that? You there?
Yeah, hold on. Yeah, I was just straightening out my cord, and I separated a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Don't do
games
that.
Games Gone Quick is a website where you play games to raise money for cancer.
So it's almost like the Extra Life thing I do every year.
Right.
Okay.
They have just put up rules saying, of all the games you could play, you cannot play any Harry Potter game. Because, yeah. This is after... let's see, we're about 2 weeks, 3 weeks in since the release. It's the number one game, but people who try to stream it get barraged in their chats on Twitch or YouTube of how much they are person, and playing the game is causing people to die. I'm going, let me get this straight. You're not going to allow people to play a game to raise money to help people with cancer, to help them live, because a very small handful of the population, comparatively, is saying this game is causing people to die. Abracadabra! Nope, nobody died. And that's the killing curse. Nobody died.
How dare you? That we know of.
Well, we didn't see anyone drop.
Wolfgang Smirnoff wants to know, how is it causing people to die?
Because J.K. Rowling made that comment that men are men and women are women. And the people that are into the alphabet community as... as Dave Chappelle calls it, the alphabet people, say that that one comment is spreading so much hatred that people are dying. And if you play Harry Potter, people die. And Mort goes, well, Leiji Matsumoto died, but that was earlier, before you said that. All right. That doesn't count.
You mean for one comment it's going to make somebody die?
Yeah.
I find that very hard to believe. Don't! Don't! This is a big one! No!
But the thing is, when people are on Twitch or YouTube and they're playing the game and streaming the game, they're actually calling them every name in the book, doxing their real name and addresses and where they work. I'm going like, are you kidding me? Game. You know why people play video games? To escape this bull that's going on in the world. And people want to play the game to raise money in the case of Games Gone Quick to fight cancer. That means people will live.
Yeah, that's right. I'll tell you why people are like this. They have nothing better to do with their lives. It makes them feel self-important. Oh, I'm going to stand up and fight for this cause.
If you want to fight a cause, okay. But is it absolutely necessary to have people streaming because they want to show people the game or raise money for it and cause them to literally have a nervous breakdown, start crying? You can check out the videos. They're there to see.
Hold on. I want to bring something up. And I don't know how many years ago, it was at, I think, New York Comic Con, where Marvel signed a deal with, I think, Grumman or some other military, you know, a company, a technology company known for dealing with military. All of a sudden, an hour going, I was like, please stand by for the thing. It's going to be really cool. Marvel, how could you do this? How could you sign with a warmongering company? What are you going to do? Put your heroes on the bombs now? Oh, my God. And all of a sudden, all these celebrities got behind this, and I said something, but you don't know what it is yet. Why don't you give them the benefit of the doubt? Oh, how dare you stand up for them? What are you, right-wing, you know, commie? Wow. Again, it might be something cool. Maybe it doesn't have anything to do with the military. Why don't you wait and see what it has to be? Right? Mm. Now everything exploded for the next 55 minutes. Marvel came back. Due to the outcries and hatred from the community, we've canceled the panel. We've canceled the contract. Somebody spoke up around here. Hey, by the way, what was the thing going to be? Oh, it was going to be with high tech to help people with learning disabilities be able to learn through technology. Oh, so it was going to help people for the better and nothing military? No. Oh. But because people around here have to jump the gun and get up on their high horse and their soapboxes and presume things all the time, this deal just fell through and won't happen ever. Right. And then they wrote me privately, thank you for standing up for us. I was like, well, how do you soapbox preachers feel now? All they said was, oh, Yeah, maybe not jump the gun and wait to see what's going to happen, idiots. And that was the last I posted in that forum. I left the forum after that.
Mm-hmm.
What's funny is we did my show that night, and we were talking about, like, this is why you people on the internet need to stop jumping the gun and stop preaching until you get all your facts together. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
Now, Pogonavovatsis, the first thing I asked was, because every year he does an Extra Life thing, and we thank everyone who makes the donations for Extra Life for the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals. And he asked them to check to see if they also are going to pull this. He has not seen it yet.
Well, because it's still, like, early. You know, they haven't set the dates yet. Oh, yeah, I know every year they do, like, a special weekend for tabletop gaming. And something like, I know the video game, they just announced November 4th is going to be this year's, the weekend, the official Extra Life weekend or day, whatever. So, but they haven't done anything else yet. So,
mm-hmm. So we will be watching this, and if it continues and they do not put that stipulation like GamesCon quick, we got to jump again. If they don't do that, we will proudly announce that Extra Life wants you to play any game to help the kids. I think that's safe to say, right, Pogo?
Yeah, it should be any game. I mean, like I said, they've always had the policy, you can play games on the app if you want. So, I mean, apps on your phone, rather, the apps. Apps on your phone, they accept.
Yeah, but like I said, there are videos. You look at it on YouTube. They're all there for you to see. And they're actually causing people to have nervous breakdowns. I'm hearing women crying because all they want to do is just play a game. Why?
Right.
To escape the bullshit of the real world, which is one of the functions of a game. Am I wrong? Am I thinking? I don't think I am.
What happened in this world of acceptance? That's okay. I worked with a girl, a woman, and, you know, it's like I quickly realized she didn't understand the word tolerate or tolerance. Now, what is your definition of the word tolerance?
You may not agree,
or give me an example.
But you give respect and you understand you agree to disagree.
Right. Oh, no. She goes, Rich, why are you acting like this? What? I'm tolerating it. I'm letting them do it. I'm not embracing. No, that's not what the word means. You have to embrace it. We're doing a special day. No, stop right there. And she was out to lunch. I'm like, that's not what the word tolerance or tolerate means. Okay. And I said, you're all a bunch of fucking hypocrites. And I said this in a meeting. I was like, you want me to tolerate everybody's bullshit around here. Yet when I do something, you got to shut that music off. It's like, you want me to tolerate all your bullshit. But when I do something, oh, my God. Oh, he's listening to Led Zeppelin. Oh, you got to shut that devil-worshipping music off. Where is their music devil-worshipping? I know for a fact Jimmy Page sold his soul to the devil. Show me where that happened.
Let's check with Mordecai and Hell Lord Satan. Come on.
Yeah, I know
Mordecai,
for a fact.
Is there a contract? Come on.
Hold on. Because I know for a fact Jimmy Page says in recent times, right, when I got to this job, you know what he said? In his younger days, he neither confirmed nor denied it, but he denies it now. He just said because he neither confirmed nor denied it, they sold a shitload of albums because everybody thought that.
I mean, yeah, I mean, the whole story is on the 70s metal scene. That is, we're talking, let's see, Ozzy, you know, the biting of the head. Well, there was a picture of that. But then they started saying Alice Cooper did that, and Ozzy calls up Alice, and he goes, did you actually do that? He said, no, I didn't. Was, don't tell anyone. Just let that thing ride.
Yeah. See, these rumors helped sell their albums. That's why they never denied this shit. Like, now they'll go back and, like, fuck it, I'm retired. I made billions. Thanks to you assholes. Sure. Now I'll deny it.
Yeah.
But
not,
holy shit.
And it, watch any VH1 behind the scenes.
Yeah,
yeah, they have a metal band. Yeah. They're going like, no, I didn't really do that.
No, but at the time, you know, shit, we sold a shitload of albums because of you guys. You know, that's why I laugh about. Like, if you buy, like, oh my God, there's a great book with Led Zeppelin, Hammer of the Gods. Oh my God, you get the behind the scenes. Like, oh, on Instagram, there's a couple Led Zeppelin groups I'm in. This one guy, he says, like, he wears, like, these girly-type shirts. They were in the 70s. That was the style. He goes, he slept with a different girl every night, and he took the shirt that they wore, and he wore it the next night. No. He was married. He was very faithful to his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like, where'd you get this from?
His own mouth. He was VH1 behind the scenes.
No. He says, well, I heard that from somebody. And everybody's going, who's this someone? Because he never cheated on his wife. Everybody knows that. He never cheated. So where are you getting this from? You know, it's like, I hate to tell you, it was the late 60s, early 70s. That was the style of men's shirt back then. It wasn't that hard.
I grew up in
and
Brooklyn.
Robert Plant Robert Plant was very thin. He might still be. He's very thin. So he could fit into those shirts. They might be girl shirts. It just, you know, worked for him.
But, you know, it's like the stories of the heavy metal people doing all those crazy stuff in the 70s. And I'll throw another analogy. 80s. Once you heard it's an R-rated movie. Oh, you got to see the R-rated movie. It's the same of what happened to Hogwarts Legacy. Oh, you can't buy this game. What happened? Hogwarts Legacy. Number one, beating Elden Ring. Beating, you know, we're talking, you know, player games. I can't say how it goes up against World of Warcraft. But single player games,
right.
Number one, beats them all. Put them over the knee, spiked it several sides, said, go to your room.
Mm-hmm.
And why? Because this small handful of people who thought they were doing something to block actually stoked the fires. And it's like, get the idea. If the Bible thumpers of the 70s, guess what? They failed. Bible thumpers of the 80s and the NPRC. Oh, you remember the National Protection Parental Music Center, the committee, I mean. That led by Al Gore, but you know, and those infamous songs. Guess what? Boom! Sales went right through the roof once they hit that list. And now, same thing happening. This game's gonna kill people. Zoom, number one sales of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Does not work. Did not work then. Does not work now. Will not work in the future. What's going to kill
gonna
it?
Bring...
They take a look at it, and it goes, damn, this sucks. That's it.
Yep, that's it, the quality of the game. I'm going to bring this same similar up with a TV show, which I fell in love with because Ed O'Neill, Al Bundy, Married with Children, never watched the show until he hosted Saturday Night Live. And you're talking about how controversial the show is, right? Saw him on there, funny actor. I was like, okay, if the show's on Sunday nights, I was like, well, what's so controversial? I got to check the show out. Fell in love with the show. Started watching it. that night. From that point on, I was the biggest Married with Children fan ever.
Mordecai goes, not sure if Dee Snider's going to talk to the PMRC to defend Hogwarts, though. No, you are correct about that.
No,
but even some of the cast members of the Harry Potter will come to J.K. Rowling's defense. Yes, there are others that won't, but there are others that will, including one who passed away recently, the man who played Hagrid.
Yes.
And when he died, and that news got out, oh my God!
Yeah,
the corpse was not even cold.
Well, if he actually comes to her defense now, I think we should freak out. You know, since he's dead. I mean, if he comes to her defense, I think we should be worried.
The thing is, there's now more people that are going to want to stream it. There was people that wanted to raise money to help people, at least on Games Gone Quick. I'm hoping Extra Life doesn't follow suit. I'm really hoping.
Right, right.
I know Pokemon doesn't have Hogwarts Legacy. He'll probably play City Heroes or Champions. But, you know.
Yeah.
I'm
I'll
just hoping it doesn't happen.
I love the books. When I'm trying to think what happened. I got sick at work with pneumonia. I went to pick up my meds and went to the supermarket next door. Lo and behold, here's a display of the books, the first three or four books in paperback, right? And I'm like, you know, I hear people at work talking about them, that I love them. I picked them up, right? And it was like a Saturday. I'm like, you know what? I got them. I was like, all right. I know usually for me, I take my time with the first 50 pages. Once I get past the first 50 pages of a paper of a novel, I'm into it. The funny thing is, once you get past the first 50 pages of the first book, that's when all the action hits.
Natalia,
I'm like, okay. What was that?
Natalia Proffs goes, in this case, I say separate the art from the artist. Enjoy the damn game. It's like, if you want to really put pressure on J.K. Rowling, the game is not the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Hit Universal Studios. Hit Lego.
Yeah. But anyway, I was hooked on these books right after that. Right after that happened, so. And it was funny.
They even actually made a dev of the game apologize. Because they doxed
him. What I thought was funny with the movies, I said, I guarantee you, they're going to, just to get more money, they're going to do the last book in two movies, just to milk it a little bit more.
Oh, there is talk of The Cursed Child, the one that went to Broadway, is going to be a movie.
Right. I have the book. They did a novel or something. I have something in my room, a book. I don't know if it's the script or the movie. I just haven't read it. I don't know what I got. I got something in my room.
Yeah, Natalia, for some. In IIRC, she was involved with like 8% of the game's production. Basically, gave the rights. They used the castle. They used the four big names, Gryffindor, Ravenclaw, Hufflepuff, Slytherin. Used the spells. There may have been one or two sprinklings of familiar names. The Quidditch, which there was no Quidditch on the start. They are talking about making a multi-game so you can play Quidditch. But it hasn't happened yet. But after that, storyline, brand spanking new. Characters, brand spanking new. More of a consultant. Yeah, correct. Gave the okay. Thank you. See ya.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, it's, like I said, it just gets ridiculous. And speaking of ridiculous, that leads me to my next story.
Yes.
Yes. John Cleese of Monty Python fame.
Never heard of him.
Yes. Never heard.
Which was innocent.
Is in the midst of writing scripts for the new Fawlty Towers.
Never heard of it.
It's joking. Going to be a sequel, not a reboot. Already some fans are complaining it's going to be an anti-woke nightmare. When scripts are being developed, not one single frame has been shot. When
Hold it. It's going to be anti-woke?
Anti-woke.
Oh, I hope so.
This is John Cleese we're talking about. Can you see John Cleese putting a gag on half his jokes?
Nope.
No. I can't see it. When the news got out, Cleese, and I am quoting the article from Bleeding Cool. Here we go. Cleese, ever so English, has seen fit to apologize on Twitter, no less. I must apologize. Let me see if I can do this in the style of at least a younger John Cleese, because I can't do the older. I must apologize. I had no idea writing a new sitcom with my daughter would cause so much anger and distress. I truly mean no harm. Naively, I thought it might be fun, but I feel terrible about having released this tide of negative emotions. Please forgive me. This is an apology made in absolute sincere sarcasm. It is satire in itself, a preemptive strike against know-it-all pundits who are predicting the new series will be an anti-woke nightmare. Cleese happens to own Fawlty Towers. It is his intellectual property. He can do whatever he wants, including leasing out to the occasional unsuccessful Hollywood attempt to remake it for a U.S. network over the decades. We know that Shin Fawlty Towers, as we like to call it, until told otherwise, or Shin is Japanese for new, is going to be set in a boutique hotel in the Caribbean to be run by Basil Fawlty and his long-lost daughter. There will be an international clientele that they will have to be dealing with. After that, nothing else is known. Coming soon to the Ministry of Silly Woke.
The fact that it's anti-woke already, I'm just counting down the days to when this starts.
But, you know, I'm going, you know, and it's one by one. There's still two holdouts. But one by one, the remaining Monty Python cast, including Clara Cleveland, are really getting absolutely friggin' annoyed of, to give you an idea, the BBC pretty much said, in today's standards, Monty Python would not exist because they were not diverse enough.
Oh, God.
They were six white guys. I'm going like, wait a minute, hold it, hit the brakes. Carol Cleveland, officially the seventh Python now.
Right.
And, what's his name? All right, getting
wasn't
too silly.
Malcolm Gay?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, what? Hold on. I've seen there was something on Adult Swim. It was a bunch of all black men.
Mm-hmm.
So but that was okay?
Well, like I said, this is BBC. They want you know, the full diversity. And they're saying Monty Python would not have survived. If you think about it, when you go back to everything, Steptoe and Son, which gave the U.S., Stanford and Son, wouldn't have survived. Are You Being Served? That wouldn't survive. Okay, we would have Red War because of Lester.
Right.
We would still have Lester
about,
and the Cats.
Oh, okay, so diverse cast work? Yeah, how about the latest Doctor Who series? Everybody loves season one of what's her name's run.
Go watch Life of Brian then.
Yeah. How about the all-inclusive cast with what's her name? I can't remember her name now. Chris Chibnall is a runner, the showrunner of that one. Oh, there was a, I got to repeat this one again. He had the reverse of the Midas touch with that series. He was handed gold, and he turned it to shit.
It's like
Jodie
Doctor
Whittaker.
Who
I just remembered
has been
it.
Going on since yeah. the 60s. It's, a
it's been going on for
pattern.
Over 50 years. It was on Sunday nights, like it should be. No, Saturday nights. I'm sorry. It was on Saturday nights, like it should be. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And what do they do when they... Oh, let's switch it to Sundays. Why? Oh, because everything else is on Sundays. It gave me something to look forward to on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm. Now, they've already talked about with the new Fawlty Towers. We will probably see less slapstick from John Cleese. Well, kind of expected. Because how old is he now?
That old.
We're not going to see the slapstick that we saw in Fawlty Towers where he's pretty much ready to kill himself.
Right. But he still has his wit and his humor, so.
Mm-hmm. Camille Cleese, that's the daughter, can
right.
actually do the slapstick.
Right.
You know, then it's the official passing of the torch. Now, some people say Camille Cleese is not funny. I have yet to see her in action. I can't say one way or the other.
Well,
and you got to jump.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, I was just about to say who's playing Camille Cleese, but that's her actual name. Never mind.
Like I said, I've never seen her in any show, you know, because I didn't even know she was in any show for that matter. That is a good question. Let's. It is time for Google Foo.
To IMDb I go. Camille.
Let's see what we get.
She was on At Midnight. Daddy Daughter Trip pilot. Mama's Born. The man.
She was on Bachelorette Weekend.
She was a writer for John Cleese, the Alimony Tour in 2011. Well, she was on something called The Laugh Factory in 2019.
I am not recognizing anything. There are a few, I see a few demo reels of supposedly her comedy skit. Oh, she's 6'1".
Right.
She's my height.
Well, there you go. Huh? Daddy Daughter Trip coming out. Oh, it should be out. All right, hold on. I'm going to check out this.
And somewhere in the background, someone's going, that's a huge man!
So I'm playing this on my phone, so.
Oh.
Daddy Daughter Trip looks like Rob Schneider's in it.
Give blood once, or you'll start to feel weak.
Ah, here to donate blood. I'm here to donate the blood.
We have $602 in the bank, Larry.
All we need is one of my inventions to hit big.
A spoon with a fan attached.
Yeah.
Good morning, sweetheart.
Morning. So, are we gonna get to go somewhere fun for spring break?
How are we gonna pay for it?
I wanna do something special for Mira.
You do realize we're living at my friend's house.
I gotta warn you, I fart in my sleep.
Larry, please, just don't break our daughter's heart.
So far, it's all Rob Schneider, and she's playing the straight person.
Mira, tell us your plans for spring break.
Me and my family are going canoeing, Butterfly Wonderland. And we're also going to Arizona.
You have the money to go canoeing.
Listen up, poop faces.
Mira's going to all those places.
Spring break!
Yay! A broke dad on a mission to take his daughter to all the places she wants to go on spring break.
Yeah.
And his daughter's in elementary school.
Okay. Well, like I said, once it comes out, if it is a true sequel in the style of John Cleese's original, it's going to be a smash hit.
Hold on. It said it came out in 2022. But it looks
Snyder
like she's playing minor parts.
2032?
Yeah.
When?
this movie, I'm looking at Daddy-Daughter Trip, 2022. Well, why is it a pilot? Oh, she's the pilot?
No, it could have been a pilot episode.
Hold on. Oh, that's not even her. Hold on a minute.
Oh, jeez.
Hold on. John Cleese is in it. He's got a name. And he's got a name part. Camille Cleese plays a pilot.
Okay. All right. Well.
How do you see it? If it came out in 2022. All right.
I got a message here. Going like, it's like you actually found a way to connect the Bible thumpers of the 70s and 80s to the woke crowd of today. If you think about it, there's some truth to this.
Well, Monty Python?
No.
All
the complaining.
Yeah, true.
It's like, think about it.
Yeah.
I don't know how old most of you guys are, but me and Pogo, we're in the age category where we remember the Bible thumpers. In fact, you've heard Pogo Man talk about a couple of Bible thumpers interrupting one of his gaming nights.
Oh, many gaming nights. And I blame that in the library. Oh, God. And they were clueless. I mean, they are just fucking clueless.
So if you're acting like the Bible thumpers of the 70s and 80s.
I mean, their claim to fame was this. Yeah, we took on a bunch of high school students and won. We got them kicked out of the library.
Wolfgang goes, I'm 52. I remember the thumpers. Yep.
Yep.
AFK again, Pogo.
Yep, my age. Yep, our age. Yep. We got them kicked out of the library because they were playing devil worshiping game. Well, what were they playing? D&D. No, they were playing Marvel Superheroes and Champions, the tabletop role-playing. They were playing superhero. Let me get this straight. They were playing superhero saving the world, and you accuse them of being devil worshippers? No, they were playing D&D. No, we were playing Marvel Super. No, they have D&D books with them. And we showed them what we had. It's like, no, Marvel Superheroes.
See? Spider-Man.
He's playing Captain America.
Lord.
He's playing Captain, and somebody, one parent actually said, wow, he's playing Captain America, and you're accusing, Captain America of being a devil worshiper, huh? The symbol of our country? And I swear to God, the father went like this, gave a sarcastic golf clap, like a sarcastic soul clap. And what church are you with? No, they're evil. No, we're not.
And remember, at that time being, heavy metal will cause people to die. D&D will cause people to die.
Oh, do you remember that? Do you know what's funny about that? A year later, the news came out and apologized for all that, saying, oh, we forgot to tell you guys. Yeah, we have to issue an apology. The people who are doing the sacrilegious stuff with D&D, yeah, they were in mental wards already before that. All these articles came out a year later.
Barcode
all the people.
It's like people got scared of Doom, yet it's a pretty anti-demon game since you kill them.
Yeah, that was the point.
Marilyn Manson will make you shoot your peers in high school. Yeah.
Yeah. Only be, oh, no, they'll shoot the peers who listen to, how can you listen to that shit? Actually, you know what it is? There's some pop music shit. I want to kill people that listen to some of that shit. It's like, really? You listen to who? What?
Justin
can
Bieber?
I just shoot you now? Yeah. Like, can I just shoot you now for listening to, like, I work with this one girl. You name a rock band, and she starts singing their most popular song, right? It's like, well, what other songs do you know by them? Huh? And you keep playing them. It's like, oh, is this the mixtape? What? It's the same. And everybody, like if you're traveling, like, she wants to ride with you to the ball, where we're going, you know, like everybody's going after work for a happy hour. Mm-hmm. And she wants to ride in the front seat with me. It's like, you just sang the song. Yeah. It's a song that comes after on the same album. You said you're a fan of the band. Everyone in the back seat's like, holy shit. What? The song you just sang was the first song on the album. Yeah? This is song number two. It's like, good Lord.
I think it's time for some levity. And
yes, here we go. They're coming out now. You're early on that. Yeah, they had it back up. He hit it and he goes, across the screen. Went, yeah. I don't know how long we've been doing this. How long you guys been doing this? You thumped early. Oh, he's crying now. He's crying. Oh, don't coddle him. Just give me the book. Go. Give me the tone from the tomb. Go. Just go. Yeah. All right. Just.
They're still dressed. And they're still dressed as the schools of Gryffindor.
No, they're in their monk robes this time, but they're now doing a Sir Diggory. You're giving him a hug circle now. You guys are. Oh, you had to mention that.
Mm.
They're wearing it underneath their monk robes.
Uh-huh. I told you.
Oh, you bought the game. You've been playing it all week.
Wait a minute. Okay. Hold on. Did they get the $69.99 generic one or the $129 deluxe with everything? You better check.
Why are you making why are you making innocent whistling faces?
They got the deluxe.
I think I know. They got
the metal
deluxe.
Box. Mm-hmm. The metal box.
A metal box. No wonder I don't have time to play games. No wonder everything's slow around here when I try and watch TV. I want to watch wrestling after the show. Good Lord. Have you done your chores today? Again with a whistle in his face. Okay. So we're at that part of the show. In the annals, be careful of that word, of comic book history. There are many, 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 many supervillains. Some are really awesome badasses. Darkseid, Apocalypse. I just had his name in my head. Onslaught. That's what I was thinking of.
you have your excuse for getting him. That was the Rob Liefeld years. No. Fear.
Yes, I know. Yeah. I know. And he wasn't around that long either. Isn't it funny? The ones you like, the badass ones. How many of the issues was he around? 15. What? But. No.
AFK
no.
Again.
Right in the middle of my shmeal. Mm. Hold on. All right. No, you know what? I'm going to go back to doing this.
All right.
No. I'm going to do this. There we go. Okay. Villain group, you know, Legion of Doom, Flash's rogue villains, the bad villains, the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, the Serpent Society, etc., and so on. And then You got these guys. If one of these guys I read is your arch nemesis, you need a major upgrade really fast. Because they are oddball criminals from comic book history. They are members of the Legion of Regrettable Supervillains. We take you first to the Golden Age. This villain is an enemy of Hail of the Herald. Okay.
Hail oh, you to know the it's bad. Herald.
That's right. You know it's bad when it's created by unknown. Like, nobody's taking credit for this. Like,
so who made this?
Again, yep. Like the intern bots whistling innocently. Who made this guy? I just showed up. Debuted in Thrilling Comics number 26, Nedor or Nedor, N-E-D-O-R, Comics, March 1942. Reason for turning to crime, saving up to buy a complete archery kit. His quote, death, terror, and still I go on. He is none other than the Dark Archer. Now, you know what's funny about that? I actually made it when the Archer set came out finally. That's a character I hate for this game.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. No wonder I haven't played him since I made him. Oh, no. Oh, shit. I have to change him. I have to name him the Darker Archer.
And Champion Snap is going, oh, you did you? Nerf.
Yeah, wait a minute. This is Golden Age. In the Golden Age, all names are public domain by now. Okay. So, some superheroes... Oh, I thought that said suck. Some superheroes book tradition. Oh, God, this is going to be a good night. All right, they book tradition. Good thing it wasn't something else. Whether they're crime-fighting...
Once again, rain. She's missing it.
That's right. What? Why are my ears burning tonight? Whether they're a crime-fighting eye, a crook-bashing witch, or even America's first teen president, to name a few familiar examples, villains, too, can defy convention. Just because every other costumed archer in comics, both good and evil, use a bow to fire arrows doesn't mean everyone has to do the same. Who knows? Perhaps throwing arrows by hand or directly stabbing people is only the superior method. Okay, that's it. Look out! He's got a quiver full of arrows. What do you do with them? I throw them like javelins and I poke your eyes out with them at point blank range. You bastard! Case in point. The Dark Archer, a rogue in a Robin Hood costume, who sequentially assassinates a bunch of bankers using only a poisoned arrow and upper body strength. The story begins when the bizarre murder of wealthy John Archer in his high-rise apartment attracts the attention of ace reporter George Hale of the Herald. Ah, see, Hail the Herald. Notably lackluster and uninquiring for an investigative journalist, Hale presents the police with his theory of the murder. Simple, he chuckles. The window was open. Some kid was practicing archery. And Bluey. Bluey? Bluey, I say.
Bluey.
Murder? Don't make me laugh. Yes, B-L-O-O-I-E. Bluey. those phrases from the Golden Age. Bluey. Of course, Hale is wrong. He often is. And his editor lets him know it. When a coroner's office discovers a poison tip on the deadly weapon, Hale is sent anew to pursue the fiend, now being called the Dark Archer. This time, however, Hale is packing his secret weapon, invisibility pills that allow him to disappear in a puff of smoke. Now, if you're taking invisibility pills, why would it make a puff of smoke? Apparently, a little invisibility makes up for a lack of investigative instincts. Invisibility or not, I don't know. Neither Hale nor the police have much success against the vicious killer. Even the archer's henchmen are shocked by the brutality of the murders. Ain't the money enough, boss? Asked one of these underlings, cowering before a black-hued arrow raised in the archer's fist. The archer replies authoritatively, silence, you dog. I'm head man, and you'll do things my way. Withdrawing the shaft, he pledges furiously, these killings are a personal matter. Revenge! I'm starting a reign of terror. In short order, the dark archer adds three more notches to his non-existent bow, eluding both the police and the invisible Hale. But the reporter chances upon a clue. While interviewing one of the intended victims, he learns about a circus that went broke after repeated robberies. The thief, an acrobat named Henderson, swore to get even on his many accusers. There's your killer, Hale, the would-be victim states unambiguously, perhaps familiar with Hale's iffy journalistic chops. There's more. Hold on. I have turned the page for this one. Soon, Hale finds the crook's headquarters, but his temporary invisibility wears off when he is directly in the dark archer's line of fire. I see him. He's taking shape. The archer cries, raising an arrow. Now for the death blow. Unfortunately for the dark archer, Hale's knowledge of jujitsu, which we just found out about, turns the table and leaves the villain in a crumpled heap. On the plus side, they have many adult education programs in prison. Perhaps he could take up archery and finally learn how to use a proper bow.
All right. Now I know why it was an unknown, because this guy had no clue about a bow. I remember going to a camp and going like, See this arrow? You throw it, and he threw it pretty good. One,
right.
You see, it spins. You know, and not the way it should spin. It's got to go wee,
right.
wee. And if you actually get to the point, it doesn't even pierce the skin. Why? Arm strength, not good enough. Now, if you go direct stab, maybe. You better be very, very strong because...
Right.
And if we're going into the, you know, those early times, that was just wood. Guess what? They break.
You know, it's funny. I used to do archery. I never heard an arrow go wee, 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 wee. Not even all the way home.
Yeah, lawn dart, man. There you go.
There you go.
At least then you get a metal point.
That's true. That would be hilarious. Oh, no. It's our newest enemy, our newest arch nemesis, the lawn dart man.
Meanwhile, anyone who grew up from the 80s and earlier go like, lawn dart, step one, step backwards, missed.
No, our lawn darts explode when they make contact.
What?
See, that's how good we are.
Okay. All right, so we go from unknown and wisely chosen to remain anonymous to the Silver Age.
Known. And hopefully they've known. Okay. All right.
And you got to jump.
This one, oh, I was just there. I was just here.
I know. It's like they sped up the time, I guess. I don't know.
Jesus Christmas, man. All right. This one is known.
All right.
Oh, that's funny. I saw in the chat, I don't know which group that was, somebody said the new Soylent Green will just be made of vegans. Over in the city of Europe. We should be so lucky. Oh, what I see this morning. Oh, chocolate comes from a cocoa plant, right?
Right.
So technically, when you eat candy, you're eating a salad. I was like, that works for me. All right. I was like, all right, if you're gonna make, if you're gonna argue with that, okay, if you're gonna make that logic, okay. All right, so this one is an enemy of Aquaman. Ooh, we're moving up in the world.
Oh no, no, remember, unless it's Black Panther.
Yeah, we don't know. All right, this one was created by Robert Bernstein and Ramona Fraden or Freedom. Debuted in Adventure Comics number 272. DC Comics, May 1960. Not to be confused with The Flying Human Fish or The Fishy Flying Human.
Oh, no.
The quote, now for another perfect getaway, I'll leapfrog high over Aquaman sea creatures. I am talking about none other than the human flying fish.
Oh, no.
The Silver Age at its finest. A fine strategy for overcoming a particular foe is to acquire the same powers and abilities your enemy has, plus one more. Such is the specific and probably short-sighted logic behind the creation of the human flying fish, a villain so remarkable that he deserves two adjectives in his gnome to crime. The fish story begins with Dr. Krill. I see what they did there. And his associate... Victor Bragg, I see what they did there. Witnessing from a lighthouse vantage point, the heroics of sub-oceanic lawmen Aquaman and Aqualad, the duo comes to a sobering conclusion about their crime careers, namely that they don't stand a chance of stealing so much as a nickel, as a tin nickel, while the king of the sea and his young ward are out there patrolling the oceans. But Dr. Krill has a plan. As he explains to his astonished young friend, I'm not only an expert on medicine and marine life, I'm also an expert on Aquaman. What they need, he says, is someone whose powers are greater than Aquaman's. Inspired by a nearby school of flying fish, Krill proposes performing radical surgery to turn his partner into that someone. You're an ex-swimming champ, he enthusiastically reminds Bragg. With your aquatic ability and my genius, we'll run a crime operation that Aquaman can't interfere with. All right, side note. I love how he comes up with a plan, but he's going to do this to his partner.
Yeah.
That's all. All right. Here we go. Back to
the
reading.
Well, he does have brains then. It's like, yeah, we'll do this.
Yeah, I know. That's... Yeah, so I had this plan. See all this? That's genius. Yes, that's why I'm doing it to you. What? Trust me, it'll work. Krill hijacks a hospital ship bobbing at sea and performs a shocking surgery. Soon, Bragg possesses not only gills in addition to lungs, enabling him to breathe underwater, but remarkable speed, both in the ocean and on land. Also capable of leaping over the water in powerful bounds. He can now easily escape Aquaman and his army of telepathically controlled sea creatures. Success! Unfortunately for Bragg, he is something of a one-note gimmick. Although Aquaman can't follow the human flying fish out of the water, he does arrange for a net, quote-unquote net, of electric eels to shock the buoyant baddie into unconsciousness. Human flying fish or no human flying fish, getting zapped by a living web of aquatic tasers will knock the stuffing out of anything. The human flying fish has made a handful of reappearances since his debut. But some factor, maybe the name, I don't know, maybe the costume, maybe the powers, keeps him from joining a regular stable of top-tier aquafoes.
I don't even remember the. I do not remember this one, even in the 60s cartoons.
He was, I know, he. I don't think he made the, I don't think he made it. Okay. Thus, we come to the modern age.
Oh, I've been groaning okay. A lot lately now on this one.
Is an enemy of Catalyst from the Agents of Change.
Ooh.
Created by Eddie Campbell, Pete Ford, and Eric Battle. Debuted in Catalyst, Agents of Change number 5 from Dark Horse Comics, June 1994. We get a lot of these in the modern age, I think. weapon of choice, mutable reality and apes. Okay. The quote, I say the magic words, splashotonic, and hey presto. He is none other than the hurdy-gurdy man.
Oh.
I don't know.
Oh,
you
God,
know
I just had a flashback of Coney Island when I was a kid. Go ahead.
Okay. Comics suffer no shortage of supervillains who want to rule the world. But what about one who already holds dominion over the planet and doesn't want to? This is the internal conflict that drives the sad figure who calls himself the hurdy-gurdy man, seemingly only a humble children's entertainer in an impoverished area of futuristic Golden City. The hurdy-gurdy man, born Hugh Takahashi, is an electrical engineer student who stumbled upon the secrets of the universe and subsequently possesses the power to alter reality. As a boy, Takahashi displayed an inordinate skill with machinery. Anything with moving parts was his ovir. Ovir. Yeah, whatever. My mouth is killing me. Oh. You know what? Oh. It's his thing, man. When his father gives him a pocket calculator, however, it opens new doors. How the hell did this thing work, he puzzles. It had no moving parts, like the cars and mowers I'd fix. Pursuing a degree... Oh, my... Wow, my tooth is killing me tonight. Sorry, guys. Pursuing a degree... You know what it is? A tooth I have cracked, and it's pushing up against my tongue, and it's making the tongue, like, swollen on the side, so it's just hard to enunciate now. It's getting worse as we go on. Pursuing a degree as an electrical engineer, Takahashi becomes fixated on the true secrets of electronics. The equations and the diagrams made sense in themselves in terms of electrical circuits, he recalls, but they didn't explain how a piece of plastic could put two and two together. Puzzling over the mystery, Takahashi unlocks something powerful in his mind. Confronted by a mysterious figure repeating the word technocrat, he awakens to a new life within a powerful secret cabal that runs the world from the shadows. Flashback ended, we see a depressed and slightly drunk Takahashi working as an organ grinder, harangued by a gaggle of children begging him to make the monkey dance. So he encourages his ape to gamble and play and grow. Losing the concentration he requires to keep reality organized, Takahashi accidentally turns his monkey into a modern-day King Kong. Confronted by a quintet of Golden City's local heroes, Mecha, Rebel, Warmaker, Ruby, and Chance, the enlarged ape blasts a path of destruction through the downtown. The battle ends with a familiar closing scene, with a giant ape tumbling from a skyscraper to the sidewalk below.
Oh.
Giant creature. I know. And no Fay Wray. The giant creature reverts to its original form, leaving the assembled heroes baffled. And what of Takahashi? Sitting with his arms resting upon his knees, he relates his life story to the only creature who will listen, a stray dog. My audience knows me as the hurdy-gurdy man, he tells this four-legged attendant. My peers know me as a fellow technocrat. He notes that they could rule the world, except they already do. Walking away, he concludes on the sobering note, it's no fun being responsible for the whole damn world.
I'm just going hurdy-gurdy and Takahashi. Call it a case of watching one too many Warner Brothers cartoons. I was kind of waiting to hear an Italian name. Got the twirled mustachio and the music going, Atzamata, Atzamata, hey, Atzamata for you.
Well, you see, that's where you stereotype.
Yeah, but I went Italian.
Some of you, huh?
I went Italian.
Well, you got Japanese. You see, because the Chinese went kaiju. See? See how it all played out? It's a future city, Golden City.
I'm going like, I remember Dark Horse. You know, they had the mask. But I was going like, I don't remember this one. And by the sounds of it, it's a good thing I don't remember.
It's a good thing you didn't.
Oh, God. Was ready
there
for the stereotype villain, Gabagool.
Hey, one of these days we gotta start making characters based on this. Hey, I'm a Gabagool. What are you gonna do? Hi.
Multi
hand
attack. Like, what happened? He just started talking and the hands start slapping all over the place while he's trying to talk. Well, how do you
I'm thinking
keep
of Peter,
you quiet, tie
thinking,
his hands together?
I'm thinking of Peter. Remember when Peter Griffin grew the mustache?
Yep.
And he goes, I can speak Italian. No, you can't. Hey, he's moving his hands. He's arguing with the Italian guy.
The thing is, the talking with the hands is a stereotype, but it's also true.
But he's doing like the football thing when he's doing a touchdown. There he goes. When I was doing my wrestling show, some other people had other wrestling podcasts too, so I called it. We were making fun of it because that's when it was on back then. We were making fun of that for like 5 minutes. Because it was on that weekend. Oh, my God. That was hilarious. I think the show was like Wrestling Political Incorrectness or something like that. It was just like – and it was so funny because –
he's
going to
make
Gabagool. All right. You go make him a Gabagool. All right. He's got to be like a ghoul with a mustache, like a long Italian-type mustache. He's got to – ah, some model for you. I need the brains to put – hold on. I need the brains to put in the sauce. He's part zombie. I don't know.
Hey, that's a matter for you. You'll give me a ravioli and a pasta
of a hold on. Wait. We got to say our goodbyes.
Oh, okay.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Read those comic books, superhero novels, books, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Watch those shows, those genre shows, whatever. And thank you for tuning in tonight. You guys rock. Without you guys, me and Mad Viking, trust us, we'd still be talking about this stuff without you guys. But at least we have some people to talk to and call the show. Anything you'd like to say in closing, sir?
And if you know I like it, hey, that's a matter for you.
Hey.
Say good night, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie. Stay super until next week. And tomorrow night, who's doing a, who is anybody doing a Mardi Gras show?
Maybe. It's a 50-50 chance on Coconut.
Okay. And what if she doesn't?
Then she's doing a regular show.
Oh. And what time is her show on?
8 o'clock on Dawn Radio.
Okay. So check at 8 o'clock. And with that, enjoy the rest of your carnival. Enjoy the rest of your Lundi Gras. But remember, tomorrow's Mardi Gras. Enjoy it, because then Wednesday,
it's hangover day.
That's right. But carnival still exists till the 23rd?
The 23rd.
But we'll be celebrating Wednesday night with Bunny Night.
Yep.
Yes, we will. Oh, yes, we will. I think I'm still dressed for the occasion. Yes, I'll still be dressed like this. Have a good night, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Stay tuned for the Greatest Generation podcast up next on Dawn Radio, Embrace the Dawn. I don't know why I'm still talking. The show's over.
All right. I got to switch.
I like to think if somebody listens to the replay, they'll hear all this. You know, once we go off, they listen to the replay, they'll hear all this. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good show. All right. So go do the greatest. Oh, somebody was in chat. They want to know if we talked about
Ant-Man.
The Ant-Man movie. No, because I haven't seen it yet.
Exactly. All right.
Oh, well.
I'll talk to you later.
All right. Talk to you later. For everybody in the chat, thank you. You guys rock. See you all next time. Enjoy Greatest Generation Podcast. And don't forget Wednesday night, Mad Hosts, Funny Movie Night in the Vivoro Bay Powerhouse Theater starting at 7 p.m. Eastern.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Until he gets
11.
Tired. No, 11. I know. It goes to 11 p.m. It's a great show. We have a lot of fun. Stay there. See you then. Good night, everybody. And good night, Mad Viking. Thank you for co-hosting, sir. Enjoy. Have a good night, everybody. We're out of here.